to preach this message this morning, but as sure as I know anything, I know the Holy Spirit just moved on my heart while they were singing that song and said, I want you to preach this morning instead. 2 Samuel chapter 18, and notice with me in verse number 14, 2 Samuel 18 and verse number 14. The Bible said, Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom. And while he was yet alive, notice that, in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. Look at verse 17. And they took Absalom and cast him in a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, every one to his tent. Father, Lord, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, God, that you would take this message and speak to our hearts. I ask this morning that you would give all of us a burden for sinners. And I pray especially for those that are here this morning, God, that's nearest hell. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their heart. Lord, I ask you, God, that you would enlighten them, convict them, help them to see their need for to be saved this morning. Give them the strength, the courage, the humility to come to an altar of repentance and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves this morning. And Lord, we'll love you, and we'll thank you, and we'll praise you. For we ask in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to think about, in verse number 14, this man, this son by the name of Absalom. The Bible said that Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand. And notice the Bible said he thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And I want us to think about Absalom for just a few minutes this morning. This text, we know that Absalom was royalty. He was the king's son, King David's son. But he was a rebel. He rebelled against his father. He rebelled against the God of his fathers. And he rebelled against the authority of the entire nation, and rebellion never leads to anything that is good. Amen. And the world promotes rebellion. The world tells you to do what you want to live as you will and do as you please. But God said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Amen. And so while the world may put their stamp of approval on rebellion, you can rest assured God never puts his a stamp of approval on rebellion this morning. Amen. A rebel never ends well. For a rebel, the Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. A transgressor is somebody that knows the law. They know what's right. They know what it says, but they go against it anyway. That is a form of rebellion. Isn't that right? And rebellion always ends in destruction. And I want to say this morning, when we come to Absalom, here in this text here, Absalom was a smooth person. He stole the hearts of the men of Israel, but God knew his heart. Proverbs 15 and verse 3 said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. God sees everything. He sees the big picture from beginning to end. Amen. He knows everything that's in between. And while Absalom may have fooled many, he never fooled God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to give an account to God one of these days. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 said that it is appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen. We're all going to stand before Almighty God one of these days. Some of us sooner than later. Amen. We do not know when we're going to leave this walk of life. Absalom was a young man. That's what David said later in this text. He said, is the young man safe? He was a young man, but he left this world at such a young age. You know, just because you're young, it doesn't mean you're going to live to be old. Amen? We're not promised one day. Proverbs 27 and verse 1 said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You and I don't know. When we get up in the morning time, we have absolutely no idea what one second from the next is going to hold for every one of us. And so the Bible says this, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You and I must be ready to meet God at all times. Amos, the Bible said in chapter 4, in verse number 12, he said, prepare to meet thy God. Amen. And I wonder this morning, are you prepared to meet God? Absalom was not prepared to meet God. And Absalom is going to die in this text this morning. Think about this young man. This young man had prestige. He was the king's son. He had position. Amen. This young man had popularity. In fact, the men of Israel loved him more than they loved David. Be careful about people that'll come in and steal your heart from the people that God has planted and put in your life. Amen. But Absalom had popularity, and he had prestige, and he had position. Absalom had personality. I mean, listen, he had charisma. He had physical attraction, the Bible says. And Absalom had a pedigree, but Absalom, all he had, my friend, was just a simple profession. He professed to love God, or to be a part of the people that love God, but Absalom's life went in another direction. Isn't that right? You know, Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" There's a lot of people that says they're saved, but they live like they're lost. Amen? They say they're going to heaven, but they lean toward hell all of their life. I'm telling you, friends, some people this morning, they're not saved, they're deceived. Can I get a witness right there? And what you need to make sure this morning is you don't have, listen, you need to make sure that you don't have just a profession, but that you have a position. You need to make sure that you're saved by the grace of God. Amen. Well, when we think about Absalom this morning, the saddest thing about Absalom was that he went to hell too young. He went to hell in the prime of his life. And Absalom, when you think about it, listen, he had a father who was King David, a man after God's own heart. His father brought more to establish worship, to worship Jehovah in the nation of Israel and Jerusalem than any other king that was before him. He walked with God. David slew giants. David defeated armies. David was given the throne by God and anointed by God himself. But none of that helped Absalom get into heaven. You realize that? It doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter what your pedigree is. It doesn't matter. Listen, you say, "Well, I got a godly daddy. I got a godly mother." Well, that's wonderful, but it's not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said in John 3 and verse number 7, "You must be born again this morning." You got to be saved. Amen. I'm headed somewheres in this text, but hang on a minute. Acts 4 and verse 12 said, "Neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Amen. Salvation, my friend, is a must. If you're going to go to heaven, God gives you a free will and a free choice. And you've got to make sure this morning that you're ready to meet God. Amen. Church membership is not good enough. Water baptism is not good enough. Putting money in the offering plate will not get you to heaven. The only thing that will keep you out of hell is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You must repent of your sins and believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You must trust Him this morning. You must come by way of the cross, or you'll surely, my friend, go into the flames of hell this morning. I want to preach a few minutes out of verse number 14. When Joab put these darts in the heart of Absalom, notice the Bible says here, while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Absalom is hanging there in a tree. Joab, who is another sermon for another day, comes to him and takes three darts. Absalom had stole the heart of the men of Israel. He had broke the heart of his father. And now he is going to receive three darts in his heart. Here, Joab throws those darts in his heart while he's still alive. He's hanging there in that tree by his hair. He's still alive in verse number 15 and verse 16. Notice verse number 7 or verse number 15. He's still alive. Look what the Bible says. And 10 young men that bear Joab's armor compassed about. Notice the Bible said they smote Absalom. And here it is. They slew him. You say, when did Absalom die? He died at the end of verse 15. But while he's hanging in a tree with those three darts in his heart, Absalom knows he's dying. And Absalom knows this morning that he's not going to heaven. He knows he's going to hell. His eyes are wide open, but he is going to hell. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on this subject, on going to hell with your eyes wide open. I want to say this morning, that listen, there's a lot of people that sit in church unsaved. There's a lot of people that go to church and they've heard the gospel, but they don't do anything with it. There's some people, perhaps you're here this morning and it's your first time ever being in church. Well, I want to tell you this morning that God loves you and Jesus died for you and they want to save you. Amen. You don't have to go to hell this morning, but hell is full of people that my friend dropped off into hell. They heard the truth. They had been enlightened. They knew the truth, but they shunned the truth. They rejected the truth and they went to hell with their eyes wide open. Absalom is in that shape this morning. I want you to think about that. If you're here, sinner, listen to me. If you're lost, I want you to listen to me this morning. Don't reject Jesus Christ. Don't die without God. Don't go to hell with your eyes wide open. Amen. I wonder in this congregation, is the Holy Spirit speaking to somebody right now? Brother, I know you're happy, but don't do that while I'm preaching. Serious time this morning. I want to say, if you're here this morning and you're lost, listen to me. Don't you die without God today. What's it going to take? What's it going to take to wake you up this morning? I come to preach on the cross, but God said, sitting there, I hadn't looked at this sermon in 2 weeks. God gave it to me probably a month ago. And I was sitting there this morning, the Holy Spirit said, preach that. And I want you to notice 3 things very quickly this morning. I want you to notice the person who sent Absalom to hell. Now, ultimately, it was God. We know that. But Joab put the darts in his heart in verse number 14. I understand that it's God that took the life of Absalom. God holds all of our lives in his hand. But you and I, by the decisions that we make in life, we can shorten our days. Absalom didn't have to die when he did. But because of rebellion, he died. He died an early death. Now, I want to say to you this morning, you think about this. You have your youth here today. You're young. You say, I got my whole life ahead of you. Maybe that's so, but maybe not this morning. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're just a breath or a step away from eternity. I remember a few years ago, it's probably been 8 or 9, maybe not quite 10 years ago, a young lady that sat, Brother Jonathan, where you're sitting at, Brother Jonathan Helton, right where you're sitting, there's a lady sat right there, a young girl sat there, 17 years old. On a Sunday morning, she raised her hand that she was lost, and I remember distinctively, God, you could see conviction on her face. She knew she needed to be saved. She raised her hand that she was lost, which is something you don't get people to do much anymore. She raised her hand that she was lost. On Tuesday, she went out into eternity at 17 years of age. Now, I don't know her soul this morning, but based off of her testimony on Sunday morning, if she didn't get saved, and I didn't hear testimony that she did, we know where that young lady is this morning. And I would tell you that Joab was a dangerous person. He was deceptive, not every bit as deceitful. He could not be trusted fully. And there are some people in life, they're dangerous, they're deceptive, they're even devilish, amen? They're deadly. Some are all of the above. Some are falling into different categories. But I want to tell you, there are people in hell this morning because they got with their own crowd. Amen? They got with a beer-drinking crowd. Now, they didn't have to, and it was their choice. I understand that. And I'm going to tell you, the beer-drinking crowd will send you to hell. Amen? You hang out with them, you'll forget all about God. The doping crowd will help you get out of your right mind where you can't make a proper decision. You won't have a sound mind. That dope crowd will help send you to hell a little bit faster. Amen? You get out there with that crowd of perversion that's ate up with lust and filth and all kinds of wickedness and pornography. And they're all the time, all kinds of wicked things that we don't even want to talk about that they engage in and that they find it funny. They even find it some form of entertainment. Hey, that crowd will pervert your mind. They'll pervert your soul and they'll send you to an early grave and you'll die without God. Hell is full of that crowd this morning. They're full of a crowd that was bent on their own sin, built on bent on lust, and living a good time. Hey, there is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season, friend. And your season could be 1 year, or it could be one act, or it could be one day, it could be 1 week. You don't know how long a season is. That's the thing about seasons. They come and they go, and some are shorter than others. I'm going to get out there and sow some wild oats. You may only sow one oat, amen? And then you may find yourself in a Christless eternity. But don't let the devil send somebody in your path that's going to pull you down the wrong way and help send your soul to hell this morning. Do y'all believe this morning that God puts people in your path to win you to God? I believe that, don't you? Don't you believe this morning you're a product of somebody? Somebody that witnessed to you, somebody that prayed for you, that God put in your path. Well, if that's true about God, it's true about the devil. Do you realize that when somebody comes into your life and they say, oh, you don't got to listen to your preacher, and you don't got to listen to your parents, and you don't got to listen, you don't got to go to that church down the road. You don't got to live like that. I'll tell you what, if you'll come over here and do some things with us, we understand where you're at. We understand who you are. You know who that is? That's a devil sending the wrong people in your life, friend. And there's a lot of people that would have never got out into that life, but somebody came into their life and was instrumental in helping them go down the wrong road that ultimately wound them up in hell. Years ago, in the town that we grew up in, there was a young man that came to church, heard the gospel, raised his hand every single night that he needed to be saved. And one week after that meeting at our church, another young man invited him to get in his IROC Z and let's go running up and down the 411 highway, and let's go running up down through there, Chatsworth Highway, and let's it's homecoming night. Let's live it up. Let's party it up. Let's have a good time. Let's go to the prom, and let's just have the night of our life, is what he told him. The only problem is when they got out of school within an hour, that IROC Z was split in half. Those two young men, their lifeless bodies was laying out on the four-lane highway. And that young man was in hell. I preached to that young man for 5 nights. Watched him raise his hand, and on the last night when he went out the door, I grabbed his hand and shook his head, and I said to him, I said, why don't you get saved tonight? 18 years old, shacked up with a girl. He said to me, he said, preacher, he said, I want you to know I am going to get saved. He said, but we're shacked up. And he said, when we graduate, he said, we're going to get married and we're both going to get in church. And 1 week later, he was in hell. Got with the wrong crowd. I want to ask you this question tonight, or this morning. Don't, you know, if I was a young person who had godly parents raised in church, I think I'd get down and almost kiss the carpet. That this morning, there's a lot of places you could be. But you're sitting on a pew in church. You ought to thank God. Never get over that. So thank God you never drank, you never smoked, you never ran out. Thank God you never joined a cheerleading squad and you never went to the prom. Thank God you never got out there and lived a life of sinfulness and sexual conduct, living ungodly and wicked. Thank God that you were raised in church. Don't feel like that's some secondhand life. I'm going to tell you, that's the best life you could ever have. I'm telling you tonight or this morning to be raised in the house of God and kept from the sins of this world and given an opportunity to know God at a young age and live for Jesus and not waste the most precious years of your life and not get out there and scar your life. You ought to thank God every single day. You ought to go by and tell your mama and daddy everywhere every now and then. You ought to pick up the phone and say thank you. I just want to say thank you for raising me in the old time way. There's a lot of things you can do, everything they're doing right now if you wanted to, but by the grace of God, you're not doing that. God let you be here. I'm telling you, don't go to hell from a church pew. Amen. Don't go to hell from Bible Baptist Church. Don't let a person in the youth group pull you in the wrong direction. You know, if I was a teenager today, and I can tell you this, I'm not boasting in this, and I'm not the only person who can say this in this room. But my wife and I both can testify to this. We made our minds up as young people. We were not going to follow whatever the group in the church was going to do, the youth. I'm talking about the young people. We made our minds up. If they want to go with God, that's good. But if they don't want to go with God, we're not going to follow suit. We got too many followers today. Can I get an amen? I remember us making that commitment to God. We're going to serve Jesus through our teenage years, and then we're going to get married, and we're going to have a godly family, and we're going to raise, by the grace of God, we're going to raise children for the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. We stand here this morning, and we're nothing. I know we're nothing. But I'm telling you something. God put it in our heart, and He gave us the grace to live for Him. I'm so thankful. I'm 1,000 times thankful. I didn't just follow what everybody else was doing. I'm so thankful this morning that God has blessed us. He gave us exactly the heart's desire. You know why? Because it honored Him, not because we were anything. I'm just telling you this morning, if you're saved, you want to live for God. And if you're not saved, you better get saved. And you better live for God, because somebody will be waiting in your pathway to just try to deter you and pull you in the wrong direction. Hey, young man, you don't need a wife so bad that you got to get on the internet and find one. God ain't a million miles of that this morning. I don't care if you're young or old. You know what God did? He brought Eve to Adam. You say, well, I don't know if there's much of a chance for me. Well, think about how little of a chance there was for Adam. There wasn't a whole lot. There wasn't anybody to choose from. But God brought him a woman, didn't He? And it was God's will. And I'll tell you something this morning. I'm amazed at people that say they know God and they use the internet to find God's will for their life. Oh, you'll find somebody, but you'll have to sell your convictions out to marry that person. Or you'll have to give up. And I know this morning you say, where's that fit in this sermon? I don't know, but it sure feels right preaching it right now. I'm telling you this morning, we live in such an internet age that people trust it more than they do the Bible and the God of this Bible. Brother Gravely, well, I want to get married. Get on your knees and pray for a mate. And then wait for God to send that person, because there's things worse than being single, you know that. Marrying the wrong person. Oh, you could marry that person, could have children, but if it isn't God's will, every one of them could drop off into hell. Wouldn't it be better to be single this morning? I want to say this morning, there are people in life, maybe it's not that, maybe it's somebody on the job that you talk to. There's just somebody that's loud and got a lot of advice and it sounds so good and you listen to them. You better be careful about that. Go to work, do your job, and go home. Am I telling the truth? Say, Brother Gravity, what's that got to do with? I'll tell you, there's a lot of men and a lot of women that's ruined their lives because they took more counsel from somebody on the job than they did the man of God, the Sunday school teacher, the people that God put in their life this morning. I'm just telling you. You say, well, I'm saved. That's wonderful. But there may be somebody here not saved this morning. And right now the devil is telling you, don't listen to that preacher. Don't listen to what he has to say. Well, I'm just telling you what God says this morning. I'm just telling you, you don't want to die without Jesus Christ. If you know you're not saved, you better not listen to what this world says. Don't listen to what they say on the internet. Listen to the God of this Bible this morning. Amen. You need to come and repent of your sins and accept Christ. Don't hold on to your sin. You say, well, I love my sin. Your sin's going to take you to hell. Amen. It's going to take you to an early grave. I'm telling you, sin will take you farther than you want to go this morning. It'll make you do things you never wished you'd have done. Amen. It'll make you think thoughts you never wished you'd have thought. And you'll die without God. Amen. If you're not saved. I had a friend I went to school with. We were best friends in fifth grade and sixth grade. And then we went separate ways after I got saved. We never was against each other. He was just going one way and I was going another. And a few years ago, he was a cook in our hometown in a certain place. And I went in to the restaurant where he worked at. And I said to the lady behind, I ordered a burger, and I said to the lady, I said, is so-and-so here? And she looked at me with a blank stare. I hadn't been in there in a couple years. She said, he died. Same age as me. I mean, I was shocked. I said, he died. She said, he hung himself. And I can remember years ago, after I started pastoring my first church, 2 blocks in front of that church where I pastored at, there was a little rundown motel still there today. And I remember him going in those motel rooms and he would huff paint. He was a lost soul. Didn't have a father growing up and mother was always gone. He's in hell this morning. And I think about when we were just boys. Just boys. if somehow somebody could have reached his soul. Oh, hear me this morning, sinner. I may never finish my message this morning as far as an outline, but I want you to know this morning, there's more than the breath that's in your body right now. The devil wants your soul. He wants to drag you off into hell this morning more than anything. And I beg you this morning, I tell you, if you could make people get saved, Brother Laddie, I'd just go round people up, wouldn't you? But you can't make people get saved. I can't make anybody come this altar. And used to, people responded more, I think, because, I don't know, maybe they had been taught more growing up, just in society, to respect God, to honor, even if they didn't go to church, to have some respect for a preacher, a Christian, a church. But this society has no fear. They have no respect. They have seen so much stuff birthed out of Hollywood and video games, and music is so, I mean, it's so devilish today, isn't it? I don't listen to that garbage, but I tell you, I've walked through a restaurant or walked through a place of business, and I would hear somebody supposedly singing a song, and they're cursing God, and they're damning Jesus Christ, and they're saying things, and I'm telling you, it puts a chill up my spine. And people put that in their head. They listen to it over and over and over again. And they go home and they sit there and they watch shows where they just mutilate people and where there's demons and there's devils and they mock hell and they mock everything. No wonder this society is so desensitized when you preach to them as a whole. I'm talking about they've seen so much hell coming through the tube of their television and through their earphones and through their cell phones. It seems like people don't blush hardly at anything like they used to. I'm telling you this morning while I'm preaching to you right now, there are people dropping off into hell. Every 3 seconds, somebody goes out into eternity, and many of them are dying without God, and they're going to hell with their eyes wide open this morning. What about you? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go this morning? I want to preach to you this morning as if it's the last sermon you'll ever hear. And I pray to God this morning, if you're not saved, whether it be a cloak of religion or whether it be some sin that you love so much, that God will wake you up. You won't be like this young man. I mean, he had a father, David, in the end. Those two messengers come to David. David didn't care that the enemy was destroyed. He didn't care who won the battle. He only wanted to know one thing. The king in our text only wanted to know one thing. Is the young man safe? And sinner, I want to tell you this morning, God wants one thing out of your life. If he doesn't have anything else, he wants you to be safe from the flames of hell. Young person, God wants you to be safe. God doesn't want to take from you. God wants to give to you this morning. He wants to give you a life that's so much better. And I'm going to tell you, you look at that crowd that lives their wild parties and drinks and smokes and lives their wicked life. But look at them. Look at them. 10 years down the road. I can think of family members I have this morning who they just got too old to sin like they used to. Still lost, but they can't live the life they used to live. Their bodies sin so, and they're not even in their 70s. But that life of sin has broke them down so bad they look like they're 90. Sin, it's a hard road when you live a life of sin. You enjoy it in your 20s. It gets a little harder in your 30s. It gets a little harder, and boy, by the time you get in your 40s, you start reaping the repercussions of a sinful life. If you get to live to be old, I promise you, you won't enjoy your older years living out in sin. You'll lose precious things, precious time, precious people. I'm not being critical toward nobody. There's people God saved out of that life. And boy, don't you thank God for grace. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen it when they're on their fourth marriage and their children won't speak to them. I've seen it when they filed bankruptcy so many times and are living in a little house, and you go in their house and there's no furniture and there's nothing there. Hey, it'd be one thing to be broke, but it's another thing when sin has robbed you of everything that you got. I know life doesn't consist of abundance of things this morning, but I'm telling you, young person, if you think you're going to live a life of sin, you're going to have a lot at the end, I promise you this much, you're going to die empty, just like every other sinner without God. Absalom, he could have had so much, and he dies in a tree without God. I wonder this morning, as they come, get us a song ready. I went to visit a relative. In fact, I took Brother Bobby Barnes with me a few years ago. I had a family member who was dying, and she had lived a long life of sin. And I remember going, I'd visited her house or visited her bedside two or three times because she wasn't saved and she was dying. Even another member of my family that was not even right with God called me one day and said, you know, I went by and visited her because if she don't get saved, she's going to go to hell. I'm talking about another family member, Brother Laddie, that's not even in church. They knew that she wasn't saved. So she's going to go to hell. And they went and tried to give her the gospel and them not even right with God. I went to Brother Bobby. I said, Brother Bobby, I said, would you go with me? And I said, I've done everything. And she's slipping away. And I said, would you go with me and see if you can talk to her? We sat by her bedside. She could barely breathe. And Brother Bobby said, he gave her the gospel. And all she'd say is, I'm okay. I'm okay. And I said to her, I said, you're not okay. I said, you're not okay. I said, don't listen to that. I said, God will save you. I said, he'll save you if you'll just call him. And I said, but you're not okay. And she sat there and lay there in that bed. And she said, I'm okay. I'm okay. And she went out into eternity telling us she's okay. But I'm going to tell you this morning, she's not okay right now. She died without God. How about you this morning? As we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Sinner, we're not going to sing 15 verses. I don't have no trick questions for you this morning. I'm just telling you, if you're going to hell, you got a choice right now. You can come to this altar and repent and ask God to save you, and he'll do that. If you'll trust him, he'll save you. Or you can stay in that pew and walk out this door, and you can go home, and you can go to hell with your eyes wide open. But I beg you this morning, please, why would you not want to be saved? Why? Your sin is not worth it this morning. Don't you want to be born again? Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you care that Jesus suffered it all so that you could be saved? Lord, bless this invitation. Speak to hearts now in Jesus' name. While we sing, if you're lost, would you come? Would you come while we sing? Just as